Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, and praise the Lord on today, the Lord has made. I hope you're rejoicing and be glad in it. I tell you what a blessing it is to be here with you once again here on Stars of Heaven Network 9, and I'm really excited to be here and share this particular impartation with you. This prophetic utterance the Lord gave me, and as I shared with you, I was going to come on when he led me, and today was one of the days that he led me, and I don't know when I'll be back on after today, but I'm so excited to be here to share this prophetic word the Lord gave me as we continue to move in this awesome new decade and century, and I'm excited that he gave this to me. In celebration of Lisa Marie's Bride Supper and Brunch, Lisa Marie's Bride Supper and Brunch, a birthing that I birthed, celebrating Sundays, in particular afternoon, celebrating all brides of all seasons, the bubbly representing the new wine, the Holy Spirit. Brunch, which is one of my favorite times of the day on Sunday because of the eclectic mix of lunch and brunch. You can have both. So thank you for joining me. For those of you who are first-timers and first-time listeners, welcome. I am Lisa Marie, your hostess, founder and president of Bride of Christ Women's Ministry. And I'm excited to share what the Lord has given me based on what he's doing, more importantly, at this time. And one of the things that I touched on and shared with you, January's prophetic words were given in coming from the BOC Vault archives, the reemergence of Pinpoint 2.0, and celebrating of love. Based on Psalms 45, this prophetic utterance was inspired by that. And it's really a continuing thread of what he's saying and what he's joining with his bride. And that is a renewal vow. That's the thing that I really got when I was praying and what he showed me, what he wanted me to share. And that's based on my mystical marriage with him, my union with him, our union with him, being reunited, reconnected, reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. So I'm really excited to share some things that I've really come to understand and know about my covenant and my mystical marriage with the husband, God the Father through the Son Jesus, the Son Jesus Christ. And that word mystical is really amazing to me because it's a mystery. It's a mystery how God chose the plan of salvation to save us, and how that mystery now is manifested in our salvation and have eternal life. And all I need to know is that it works. It worked and it's still working. The cross is still working, and the blood still works, and the whole plan of salvation, which is based on the death, burial, resurrection, will never fail. Will never fail. And because of that, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus today. So I have a lot to get to. And what I want to do now is just kind of share with you the foundational scripture that he gave me for this celebration of my mystical marriage. There are many scriptures that I could have put on here, but he gave me this one, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. The first through the 10th verse. And this is where St. Apostle Paul of Jesus Christ through the will of God of his brethren unto the church of God, which is Corinth, which is where he was writing to, identifying them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Hallelujah, called to be saints. And again, sanctification means to be set apart for the glory of God, to become saints. Hallelujah, because that's the whole purpose of us being born again, from calling us to receive sainthood. And many people miss that by churching it so much. You know, and there's a difference in churching and actually becoming a saint of God. And that's what we need to remember about being called and being translated into the kingdom of your Son, is to remember that it's to become saints. And everything that God is doing and does is to present us as that chaste virgin in Christ without spot or wrinkle. Man, without spot or wrinkle. Now he goes on to say, with all that in every place, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, which is what my intentions and my declaration in him being my God. Apostle Paul made it personal because it was personal. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus. Hallelujah. So again, he's just acknowledging and speaking blessings of peace and grace from God, our Father, his Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see him identified as God being God the Father and Jesus being the Son. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit to give us what the Holy Spirit is. But again, all in the name of Jesus, because that's where everything is given. And that's who God gave all authority to. have it in it. But he goes on to say that in everything, you are enriched by him. In all utterance and in all knowledge, even the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gifts. And I love that, because, again, that speaks of what Lewis has been saying this whole time, in coming to 2020, about the gifts. This is going to be really, really important as we move forward in 2020, I guess, in our talents. He said you come behind in no gift. Every gift he has for us, we will not be behind in it. We'll be walking in the fullness of it, in operation of the fullness of it, for his glory. He said, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Amen. So he's saying that God is going to confirm us unto the end, until it's time for us to go to glory, until we fulfill the Great Commission, or fulfill the season and the assignment that he has prepared for us to fulfill in the coming year. And that is for the purpose of that we might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom we were called. So he's saying that he will present us blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying that God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. So our fellowship is, again, based on the Son of God, based on Jesus Christ, and our Lord. As he said, our Lord as well. He goes on to say, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hallelujah. So quickly I want to read that, because that's what he was saying to me, that we are jointly together. We're joined together in the same judgment, having the same mind, being perfect, and kind of one to another. Amen. And again, as I was sharing with you in the last message, you know, the Word of God says, and Jesus declared with the Lord that God has joined together no man put asunder. So I'm really excited about what God is doing with Brown's Christ Women's Ministries, and how he's throwing a fresh wind, a fresh fire, and how he's doing it by the renewal of my spirit, of my heart, being the Ark of the Covenant, being the womb of God, being his handmaiden, his bride. Now, in this vow renewal celebration and dedication, I just also wanted to restate what Jesus said, you know, and that we are a one, that the two shall become one spirit, and that there are no three ways in Christ Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are one. They are three entities, but they are one. They all work together. So the thing that I'm really excited about is him bringing back to my remembrance and really just making sure and reinforcing that oneness with him. And if you are part of the true church, you are in oneness by way of love. Plain and simple, by way of love. And that's why I wanted to include Luke 10 chapter, because again, it's by the commandment of God that I serve God, I worship God in spirit and in truth, and that is loving the Lord thank God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. You know, we're loving God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That leaves no room for the enemy. Yeah. No room for the enemy. One of the things that I wanted to do is share some of the things that, you know, one of the things that I often find is really important in keeping your covenant with God pure and keeping it flowing and keeping it on fire is understanding that that in loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our strength, that if we begin to lose sight of that love or begin to love something or someone more than Him, oftentimes God will require us to sacrifice that thing unto Him. And what I mean by sacrifice, that simply means give it to Him, put it on His altar, give it to Him. He says that He's a jealous God, that we shall know other God before Him. It does not say that there's not other gods, they are, but not to have any gods before Him. And in that sacrificing and giving that thing to God or whatever it is, it's important to do that, especially when the thing that we love or the thing that we are dedicated to is not serving us or giving us the love and fulfillment that we need. We must let it go. Because the important thing about loving the Lord thy God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength is loving ourselves. So letting something go and sacrificing to God and giving it to God also declares that you love yourself and you know what you deserve and you know that if it's that thing which is supposed to be in your life is not serving you, if it's not honoring you, you have to let it go. Amen. So, and then a lot of times we need help doing that. Even sometimes we can know that, but because of emotional attachments and having a love for that thing or that person with the right understanding, it can be painful. It can be painful letting go of something that you really love when you know the purpose for it or you can see the potential. And unfortunately, you know, when you have to let go of certain things and give it to God, not let it go to the devil, even if it's your enemy, give it to God. He knows what to do with it. And that's the thing about letting it go and put it on God's altar. Once you release it and put it on the altar, what He does with it is up to Him. Man, but it's required and commanded is by obedience and releasing it. Now, another thing that I wanted to share is that oftentimes in the sacrifice of that, whatever that is, it is often a test to see if we truly love God. And that's what Abraham's test was when he was told to sacrifice Isaac. It was a test to see if he would obey. And that's the thing that God does. He'll test and try our hearts to see if we really love Him. Not because He's egotistical or anything like that. It's to show us where we are. And so, again, God determines our capacity. God determines our growth. God determines what He releases to us according to His will, His good pleasure, according to our love, our capacity to love. Because, again, anything that you ask for or desire, if you're not honoring it and loving it the way it's supposed to be loved, then you're abusing it. And so the most important thing is honoring and celebrating anything that God gives you, anything that you ask for, in the way it should be honored, and in the way it should be celebrated, and most importantly, in the way it should be loved. Amen. Now, I subscribe by 5.2.0 in celebration of Psalms 45, which is the psalm that celebrates marriage, and also speaks of the governments of God, the power of God, and what He's doing in the earth realm, and what He's doing in the new decade, which is represented by the new heavens and the new earth. And that is for the purpose of bringing everything that he's created according to his purpose in divine order. Amen. Now, the thing about Psalms 45, he gave me Psalms 45 for when I was praying this morning. And in my devotion, he gave me Isaiah 45. And I'm like, wow, God, those 45s are hitting for real. He gave me Isaiah 45, and I was just blessing him for that because he was, again, reminding me of his luminous power and the word he gave me about his return and the fulfilling of his promises. And again, his promises to his children. And his promises, prophetic promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which we are a part of. Some of us are the tribes of Jacob, of Dan, but you know, we are now one in Christ. But it's a blessing to know that God is fulfilling his promises prophetically according to his word. So Isaiah 45 is also something a scripture he gave me this morning in what he's doing. In your own time, you can read that. And again, that speaks of his doing his power. This speaks of his assembling us, gathering us together, making a way of escape, and just fulfilling what he had purposed and what he planned in his timing in the earth realm. And you know, God will fulfill his purpose and his plan in the earth realm using his church or by whatever means he deemed necessary to fulfill his plan. And so I'm excited for him to share some things with me about how he's going to do that, who he's using in this time we have to pass. Now, quickly on to the message he gave me, prophetic warning, shall I say, he gave me. And when he gave me this morning, well, he gave it to me the other day, he spoke Ichabod 2020. And I said, wow, God, that's something. And he was just sharing with me and mentioning to me how it's going to be important for us to identify that which is false, the false word of God. And most importantly, was speaking to me as the household of faith, and said he's speaking to the household of faith for us to remember to put our trust in him. And when he spoke about 2020, a few different things that he spoke to me as relates to this word, and I'm going to share all that with you, but I want to start with Samuel, because the book of Samuel, the 12th chapter, the 15th and 22nd verse, is what I want to focus on, because this specifically speaks to how House of Eli lost the victory. And one of the things you have to remember about God and anything he creates, anything that is symbolic of his creation, is only meant to reflect who he is. It's only in his image, not the actual thing. And although God can anoint things and people, we're not to put our trust in that. And that's why the word of God says the just shall live by his faith. Amen? So Ichabod 2020 and Samuel, 1 Samuel is a picture of that, and how Israel lost the victory, and Ark of the Covenant was taken because of not trusting God. The Ark was captured. And it was also captured because of superstition and idolatry. Idolatry. And those are the things I want to, you know, point out and pull out of this message. There's so much I could say within this whole text of prophetic scripture. But the thing that he was had me focus on is just of understanding that in Luke 14:20, not to put our trust in something. He might be using a particular thing or a particular person, but we're not to put our trust in it. And that's where the sons of Eli fell short. And those who were carriers of the ark. Carriers of the ark. And if you remember, the Ark of the Covenant was holy. It represented God's presence. Now, we now worship God in spirit and in truth, but we still have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we carry the glory of God. We carry God's presence in our persons. We carry it in our lives. We carry it by our way of our gifts. We carry it by way of our talent. We carry it by way of our deeds and our service. And we're not to get that mixed up in thinking that it's in that rather than in God, because that can set up a false pride, which will cause you to get mixed up. Now, the thing about the elders of Israel is that they trusted in the ark, which was fine based on what it represented, but they began to trust in the ark literally, which caused them to take their eyes off God. So that's the thing that he was saying to me as we move forward in 2020 and identifying Ichabod. Not only must we know when he taking us to a higher level, a new realm, which we should be born to by the Spirit, not by works and deeds, but also being able to recognize Ichabod when he's told us to move forward and we stay stuck based on tradition. We're being comfortable. Those are the things that he also brought out. But quickly, I'm going to just share a few more things about 1 Samuel, because in them losing the battle, the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And one of the reasons why that was because the Philistines had a confidence in going into battle, which caused them to have faith. It was a form of faith. And the sons of Eli lost their boast and put their faith in the ark. That caused them to lose their focus, and when they went into battle, they lost. The thing that we that God will continue to be with us as long as we operate out of faith in Him, amen. And when we get into idolatry, or you take your eyes off God and put it in man. And he put confidence in man, that itself will cause you to lose victory. Now, the thing about this sad story here is that it affected the whole house of Eli, because when they lost the battle, when Eli heard of it, battle that was lost, not only that, but his son. He fell backwards and broke his neck. And the thing that's important to note in this
revealed of the house of Eli was that Eli's focus was also more or less on the victory. When he had heard that the ark was taken, that's when he fell back. You know, he wasn't him being responsible for his son's life. It was about the ark. So this is even a warning to leaders that you need to make sure you keep your focus on what it's supposed to be on, and that's God's glory, him getting the glory the way he wants to get the glory. And when you get puffed up or put confidence in flesh and you don't allow God to take you through a battle that's really unpredictable. Because, again, when you go into a battle, you can prepare all you want. It depends on the day and the time and just the fight on that day. And all you can do when it comes to a battle is prepare. What's going to be revealed is what's going to happen, what's happening on the battlefield. So, again, you know, God is the only one who can really ensure us victory. Amen. And that only by him being for us. Amen. That's what he said. If I be for you, I'm more than just for you. Now, again, when Eli was sitting and it heard, received the message of loss of the Ark of the Covenant, he fell back in the on his chair and he died. And his wife, who was pregnant at the time, when she heard of her husband Eli's death, she also died. And that's where the name Ichabod comes from, in remembrance of this battle. And Ichabod means the glory of God has departed. So we want to make sure that we're able to identify the glory of God and know when he's shifting and moving us to a different place. Now, I'm going to go into what he gave me as relates to how we today can identify the Spirit of God. And one of the things he was saying to me, he gives me First Samuel, it gives me Samuel the 5th chapter. Because although they lost the battle, it was not the Philistines, God's will of purpose for the Philistines to take the Ark of the Covenant. So even in battle, when we're in battle, we are battling and fighting the good fight of faith with that which is for us. We say that according to what he wants to have. Because when you're fighting for that which is not meant for you to have, is not ordained for you, and you take it in quote-unquote battle or snatching and naming it, claiming it, it's not going to benefit you. It's just not going to benefit you. And that's when he gave me Psalm 5th chapter in how when the first time he took the covenant, which they were not supposed to have, how it destroyed them. And that, and he gave me this, it went back to what he was saying about the gift, how those who operate out of their gift, and they're not anointed. The glory is not on it anymore. And he was saying how one sign that a person is a gift has been deactivated, and well, they have received operating out of something that God not give them, is that it will produce more glory. It'd be in operation in the flesh. In the flesh. And when he gave me this, he spoke Ishmael. He said, because Ishmael is the manifestation of Ichabod. Now, the Shekinah glory of God is the thing that God releases upon us and saying, well done. It's the thing that glorifies us for being righteous, being here with his pastor. And when you have someone who is of the seed or have the seed of Ishmael, will operate out of the seed of Ishmael, meaning that they are operating out of an alternative spirit. And God calls it D-Y-D-I-Y, do it yourself. Which, you know, that's what Sarah and Abraham did. They wanted another heir, another child, and so they, Abraham went into his handmaiden and produced another child outside of his union with self. And again, that DIY spirit is the work of the flesh. And it is birthed based on impatience, immaturity, and unfaithfulness. So you have to really be careful not to birth anything or allow yourself to be a part, become partner, or be joined to something that is birthed from the Ishmael spirit. And the thing that the Lord was sharing with me was taking me back to what he was saying when he often rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees for cloaking and whitewashing, appearing to be righteous, but inwardly they were full of dead man's bones. He was speaking of a false Lord. And that's why he said, why hate me? Because I'm good. Because they did not want to receive that which was good and that which was true. Because, again, flesh. And again, the Word of God says that men love darkness rather than light. You think it's the light of these people. Now, I think this is the thing to me about the spirit of Ishmael and its manifestation in 2020 is that, again, anything that's birthed by the spirit is illegitimate. It is false. However, the thing that he said to me was that although that thing that is deliberately masked in itself, misrepresenting itself, he said, I will just walk perfect in my glory. And afterward, we'll dismantle and destroy. So I'm going to go to my notes real quick. Some things that I went down. That's not one my Facebook post and my Twitter feed, because I wanted to make sure I did everything he was saying. Because in 2020, it's going to be this kind of glory. It's going to be God's glory. It's always been the glory that's going to get us the victory. That's going to take us to where we have to go. And that's why we praise him. That's why we worship him, because of his confidence, his presence. Hallelujah. So I really pray that God's presence will be stronger upon you this year, and you will manifest a greater glory of his presence. And more importantly, that which God has given you would not be stolen or taken. And that's why he gave me that word when he gave me Samuel the 5th chapter about let no man steal your crown. Because the spirit of Ichabod and those who operate out of the flesh and out of their gifting and their talent is doing so because they are not anointed and they're doing it in the flesh. And that's where you get a lot of, again, competition and jealousy and people attaching itself to your life. As I've had this constant where you can bind the spirit that want to copy me, copy my work and copy what I do because of that glory, of that anointing. And you must remember, our gift works by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And those who are copycats or those who are Ishmaels, those who are in the flesh, who are operating out of their gifts and carnality, they have not given their gifts to God. It's hard for them to stay inspired. And this is prevalent with some people who are in the entertainment industry, always trying to stay ahead of the next guy, you know, in that rat race, in that competition, always looking for material, you know, to keep themselves in the limelight. We'll look at somebody else and scout somebody else and see what they're doing and copy what they're doing and pass off as theirs and all this stuff. That's deceit and copycat. And again, if God gave you a gift or a talent, it should be inspired by the Holy Ghost. You should never run out of material. And that's why I love the anointing that God's put upon my life, and I understand how to keep it flowing. That's why I broke the birthing. You heard it here first. Because a lot of things that God has given me, I see show up with people who glean from me. And they use it, and use it in such a arrogant way. You know, and people who do that, you know, have to mask it by this, quote-unquote, badass attitude. Excuse my language. To justify them doing what they're doing, which is against the worldly spirit. But that's nothing new in the sun. You know, the world always come to the church to get inspired. The thing is, churches are not in them. So this is a word for you as the household of faith. So be careful and to watch, because, again, people will come and glean from you out of the flesh and will try to steal what God has given you and pass off as their own. But, again, it won't work. It won't work. Because at the end of the day, anything God gave you, if you say it's of God, will speak of his essence. Amen. It will speak of his glory according to your covenant, according to your DNA. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So I think I covered everything that I wanted to say. If not, I'll share more in the coming week and release from Lisa Marie's notebook. But I just wanted to come and share this word with you and share with you what the Lord is saying as we move forward in 2020. And that is, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. He said, my glory will not share with another. Hallelujah. And I tell you, the glory is going to do it. Amen. We've got to keep the glory of God high in our lives by praise and worship. Keep the praise of God flowing, and that's why I live in holy, live in righteous. Amen. And again, what's for you is for you. Amen. It has your DNA on it. So I just bless and praise God for you and thank God for you being here and celebration of my renewal covenant with my mystical marriage with Christ. And I pray that your union with Christ will grow stronger and stronger. You will grow closer and closer to the Lord. As you hunger and thirst after him, as you feel for him, hallelujah, as you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. Amen. That's what he said. If you seek me with your whole heart, you will find him. Amen. So with that, keep us in much love.